Welcome to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets, where world-renowned author, speaker, and holistic veterinarian Dr. Judy Morgan answers your questions and offers healthy options for raising your pets in a more holistic manner. Not sure which vaccinations should be given or how often? Not sure what to use for flea, tick, and heartworm prevention? Join Dr. Judy now as she interviews the top experts and showcases the latest products that will help your pets stay naturally healthy.
Hello and welcome to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets. I'm so excited to be able to bring you the best and the brightest in the world of pet health and caring for our pets. And today we are going a little bit out of the realm of natural pet care because we have an awesome guest, and I am really, really excited because I met Roberta a couple of years ago, and we've stayed in touch, and I've used her as my sounding board when it comes to understanding part of my relationship with my pets. So today I have with me attorney Roberta Grimes, and Roberta Grimes is a death, dying, and afterlife expert. She's actually an attorney, but she spent decades assembling nearly 200 years of abundant and consistent afterlife evidence to assemble a complete picture of death and the afterlife. And you might say, what the heck does this have to do with naturally healthy pets? Well, if you're like me, you love your pets, and you've had pets that have meant the world to you, who have crossed the rainbow bridge, and we all wonder, will we be reunited, and will we get to see them again? And that was the question that I asked Roberta the first time I met her. We were at a media event presenting to the media, and standing in line, I tapped her on the shoulder and said, you don't know me, but I have a really important question. So Roberta, welcome aboard. Thank you for joining me today.
I'm so glad to be with you, Judy. Yeah, this is going to be fun because the news is all good, and that's the best part of this. No bad news.
Thank goodness, because if it was bad news, I just have to start crying right now.
Yeah, right. Maybe we should just stop recording now. But no, I think people will be very relieved to hear what the evidence tells us, because we can believe whatever we like, but if there's always doubt in our mind, that's no fun.
Yeah, so, you're right. It is no fun, and I have to say I have lived with the information that you gave me a couple of years ago, and I've gotten back in touch with you a couple of more times to ask you again, and specifically because clients will ask. So first of all, tell us, how did you get started on the journey of trying to figure out death and dying and the afterlife? It's a bit of an odd topic, I think, for an attorney.
Yes, it is. Yeah, but you know, we all sort of have lives too. And when I was a little child and a very good Christian, I woke up in the middle of the night one night when I was 8 years old and knew there was no God, and I was very scared. And in the middle of my room, there was a flash of white light, and a voice said, "You wouldn't know what it is to have me if you didn't know what it is to be without me. I will never leave you again." And since I was so young, I just assumed that was normal. If you forget there's a God, they remind you, and I went back to sleep. But that's a vivid, when people have this kind of extraordinary experience, it remains vivid for the rest of their lives. It's been more than 60 years. It still feels as if it just happened. And I had to know what that was all about. And so when I didn't ask any questions, of course, and I'm glad I didn't, people would have thought I was a crazy child, but eventually I realized, I thought when I went to college and majored in religion, they'd finally tell you what happens if you forget there's a God, but nobody ever did. So eventually I realized I had to figure it all out myself, and the only way I could think to do that was to figure out where the light came from. I did that by trying to figure out where the dead are, and that was like tugging on a string. So much evidence we have, so much information, and it's all so consistent that by the time I was in my 50s, I had it all figured out, and there's no doubt whatsoever. And it's good news. Yes.
So how do you research something like this? Do you talk to people who have had near-death experiences? Do you look at, you know, quantum physics or science? Or, you know, is this all, you know, just believing something that you've read somewhere? How do you figure that out?
Well, I am very skeptical by nature, which I've found most researchers are, just because you don't want to, you know, this is real, and so you don't want to believe anything that isn't real. So therefore, I really am skeptical. And what I discovered eventually is that we have a tremendous number of communications that we were received before probably 1940. Through deep transmediums, a much more effective system of communication, and were documented by real researchers. So basically, there was a lot of science done in this field in the end of the 19th, early part of the 20th century. And for years, I just read everything I could find. There were a lot of books, old books you could buy, and just because, of course, this was long before the internet. And I just read, and it was wonderful. I still have all those old books. But what I found after several years, I had to admit that even though some of this was done, some of this research was done in southern England, some was done in the eastern U.S., primarily the Boston area and the New York area, it all talked about the same thing. It was the same process, the same physics, the same things happen, the same things don't happen, the way they talk, the way they travel, the way they spend their time, even though there's no time there. I mean, all of it was the same. A lot of it was hard to understand because the physics of it was very different, but it was all the same. So I knew then it had to be real. First, I convinced myself there was no possibility this wasn't real. Then I set out trying to figure out, what have I found here? What is this? Because, of course, nobody else was looking at it. There weren't even any researchers I could meet. The first one I ever heard of was Victor Zaman. Now he and his wife are very good friends of mine. He's in Australia, and he was a lone wolf back 20 years ago. So eventually, in the early part of this century, we started to get good quantum physics for dummies books. And that was when I came to understand that quantum physics is really a kind of a plug between this level of reality and most of reality. What scientists even know is most of reality, the part that's totally not material. And again, it all fit. And then I discovered I'd majored in religion in college because I was still trying to find out what happens when you die. I mean, when you forget there's a God, and that was what led me to find out what happens when you die. But I then discovered that, you know, Jesus told us all this stuff 2,000 years ago, but nobody understood what he said. And that was my real confirmation. I mean, if somebody said this 2,000 years ago and now we can confirm it, there's no doubt it's all true and it's all real. And fortunately, the veil is thinning, and there's a reason for that. So within the last, say, decade or so, there's been a lot more recent communication from very high-level beings that is very consistent and reliable. So it's there also are a lot of people researching this. This is going to be, and everyone listening, mark my words, 10 years from now, this is going to be the topic, because the baby boomers all hit 71 this year, and that means the next big thing for everybody is what's the next big thing for them. What's that? Death. So it's going to be a very big topic, and there's going to be very accurate information. We expect within 10 years to have an app for your phone that will allow you to talk to your dead relatives. You won't even need a medium. That's in the works, by the way. So
wow.
So you know, this is like it's like fun to have been, it's sort of alone for so long researching this, and now to have other people also interested in it as well.
So most people fear death, you know, if you just ask the general person on the street, yet you give your books titles like The Fun of Dying. So, you know, I think most of us say, that's no fun. Like, how can you say it's fun? Should we be looking at this differently?
Oh, yeah. Now, I have had people come up to me when I was doing speaking engagements and tell me they had cancer and dying is not fun. No, that part is not fun. Getting there, because your body has to be weakened sufficiently for you to leave it. And so getting there sometimes is not a lot of fun. It's really good to die in your sleep. If you got a choice, that's the way to go. But the term, the fun of dying, actually that title came from the dead. They tell us everything about, as soon as you are in the process of actually dying, it's glorious. It's the best time of your life. It's wonderful. It's fun. It feels just physically wonderful. Everything about it is great. And you end up immediately in a gorgeous earth-like place, which actually is in the same place we are. but which is so huge and infinite. It's totally uncrowded. We live very crowded here. I don't care where you live on the earth. It feels very crowded. There, you have infinite space around you. And since you can travel instantly by mind, you can get to a city anytime you want to. I mean, it's all so... Judy, I can't begin to tell you how wonderful it is. And that's fun, right?
Okay. So it sounds great. But in order for my world, for it to be wonderful, then I need to be surrounded. Because you know me, I live with nine dogs, four cats, four horses, and a few people. But, you know, for me, it really is about the animals. And I know that you told me, I think the last time we met, you said that you get more emails from people asking about their pets than their relatives. So, you know, my question to you is, one, you know, how do we meet up with our pets? And why do you think people care more about meeting up with their pets than their relatives?
Well, there actually is an answer to that question because I've puzzled over that, too. And then I've gone back and looked at some of these emails. I have a blog on my website, and I get a respectable number of comments. There are people now who subscribe to it. But there are more than 100 comments on my blog post about, I think it's called When a Pet Dies or something like that. If you Google that term, it comes up on the first page. It's like the second or third Google thing, my little from 2 years ago blog post. People aren't finding it. And that's why I get so many emails from these people, because sometimes they'll comment on the blog, but when it's got so many posts, they decide they're going to send me a personal question, and that's why I get emails from them. But I very rarely hear from people who've lost a loved one. Sometimes I get a question, and it's taken me a while to understand this. The reason I get so many questions, especially from people who have lost a pet, and sometimes from people who have lost a loved one, nearly all of those questions are based in guilt. People feel guilty. People feel terribly guilty very often when a pet has died because, you know, you're a parent. You have this permanent baby, which is your pet, relies on you for everything. And I mean, someone once said to me, you know, when you get a puppy, that's pain in a fur wrapper. And it's true, because inevitably, they're going to last 15 years at most, and you're going to last a whole lot longer. So you're buying the end of that puppy's life when you buy the start of it. And that's
true.
Frankly why I don't have any more pets. I don't think I could take it again. But I mean, I'm being really frank with you. But
will say it is very, very hard to lose them, and we all struggle with that. And you know, I mean, I have eight dogs of my own here, and four of them are over 15 years old. So,
okay,
you know,
right.
I keep looking at my husband and saying, you know, one of these years coming up soon, we're going to have a bad year.
You're going to have a very bad year. But why would people feel more guilty when their pet dies? Because, you know, your parents, when people's parents die, occasionally I'll hear, like I just got an email yesterday from someone who was felt very sad that she finally understood all her mother had gone through, and she wished she had been kinder to her mother when she died 20 years ago. Yeah. Then you see the guilt is belated. But
right.
With a pet, almost everybody feels, I should have done something differently. I should have noticed he was sick sooner. He's probably upset with me that I had him put to sleep, or I should have had him put to sleep sooner. Or one fellow had a parrot, and the parrot loved to fly free, and he dared to let the parrot fly free outside, so the parrot got run over. Oh, my goodness, I never saw grief like that grief. It's always guilt-based.
Right.
Grief is
right.
A predictable process. When you lose a pet or an animal or almost, you know, whenever somebody or some animal that you love has gone, you feel sad. And that's predictable. But grief runs its course pretty much over a year. I don't care who it is that's died. If the grief part doesn't lessen pretty quickly, then you know there's more going on. And what's going on is not nearly always feelings of tremendous guilt. And so now, whenever I get one of these anguished emails, and they're just the pain, it just is dripping. Whenever I get one, I always say, your pet loves you, your pet doesn't blame you. And your pet is grateful that you brought in the vet as soon as you did and allowed him or her to go peacefully, because all of those things are true. The animals tell us that they're true. I have never heard of an animal that said, you know, why did you have me killed? That's not how they think. It's a gift to them that we spare them pain, because they can't really, when they're an animal, they aren't really able to express or articulate their pain, but sometimes they're in tremendous pain, and you released an eternal being to where there's no pain, and he or she is young, healthy, happy, and there's no time. So in about 2 minutes in that animal's mind, you're going to be there. So it's like all good news. As soon as the animal's out of that body, it's all good news for them.
And, well, that's good true. To know. You know, it is. I talked to a communicator. I was at an event in New York City. It was the first dog film festival, and there was an animal communicator there at the pre-launch party. And I went over to talk to her, and I had two dogs with me, and my husband. And she looked at us both, and she saw the pain in our eyes, and she said, "You don't want to talk about these dogs, do you? Because they know they're loved and cared for, and you know that too." And I said, "Yeah, that's true." And she said, "You want to talk about one you've lost?" Because I guess she could, and we had lost the dog months prior, but she could just see the anguish on our faces. What she said to us really is kind of set us free, and it's what you're saying. And what she said was, "You have tremendous guilt," and we did, because this dog died in just a really freak, horrible accident that I can't even talk about. But she said, "You have to let go of the guilt because you're holding her back. And if you let go of the guilt, she can move on and be happy, and she's just waiting for you, and, you know, she's fine." And for me, that was very, very, I mean, it was the kindest thing she ever could have said. And I was like, well, whether she believes that or not, that was it really helped us.
It
did help us to let go of that guilt and anguish, because she said the dog was really happy, which
They're
is kind of what I'm getting from
there.
You.
Yes. Here's the larger picture. All human beings have what amounts to what feels like a separate identity. Your consciousness is eternal and feels separate eternally. And you never begin, you never will end. For animals, it's slightly different. They're of a different character although they're still part of eternal mind. They're of a different aspect. I don't completely understand this, and I don't like to speculate, but they don't need to go through the things we set up for ourselves on Earth. And what they will do pretty happily is return to what's called a group consciousness for their species. In the afterlife, there are vast planes full of, like, buffalo and other kinds of animals. There's no predation, but there are, you know, predatory animals as well, or you know, predators. They're happy like that. But if you have loved an animal, whether it's an animal we think of as a pet, or a circus animal, or a farm animal. My grandfather now lives surrounded by so many cows because he was a dairy farmer, and he loved a lot of cows. So they now have a separate existence on his farm. My particular animal is my horse. I owned him for almost 30 years, from the time he was 6 months old until he died when he was almost 30. And he gave me a communication dream 4 days after his death to just show me where he is and what he looks like now. But they develop an independent existence, and the reason is because we love them. It's the love between us and our pets that means that they aren't going to go back to the group consciousness of dogs or cats or whatever, or horses, but they have an independent existence, and they're waiting for us there as independent creatures. I don't understand it, but the evidence is overwhelming that that's the process. And the upper-level beings who communicate with us tell us that too. It's your love. Your love for your animal has made it eternal, just as you are eternal. Isn't that fascinating?
That is very, very, very cool. So, I hear that, and I'm like, oh, man, I got to go love a whole bunch more. My house is going to get even more full.
but you see, they're happy either way. I mean, a dog that has never had a person that it loved and was loved by that much, it's still fine. It's not like you're saving them from anything. But it is a wonderful, joyous thing to know that animal you loved is now young, healthy, happy, playing with other animals of the same species, or maybe of different species, in a place that is beautiful and rural, And, you know, if they like to play with balls, there's somebody there to throw the ball. They are having fun. But because where we're going, where we all are going, there is nothing like time. Time is just an artifact of this level of reality. They aren't, although it may be 40 years before you get there, they aren't going to notice that difference, and they're not going to forget you, because it's going to seem to them when they turn around and there you are, that as if they just saw you a minute ago, and they're going to be so happy to see you. We hear this over and over again. Now, there are some downsides. The only downside I can think of that people complain about is that if you've had a lot of animals that you've loved in your life, they're all there. There was one fellow, and they're all just as happy to see you. So how do you manage 40 animals all at once? I'm not sure. But there was one fellow in the early part of the 20th century when they asked you, he had recently died, but shortly after he had died, one aunt or someone had died, and he was communicating through a deep trance medium with his family, and they said, "Well, so have you seen Aunt Mildred?" And he said, "Oh, yeah. She's over there, but nobody can get near her. Nobody can talk to her or give her a hug because she had all those animals, and they're all over the place now, all around her." So that's a downside, perhaps. But it's a plus for people
who
never had a
pet. Stand in line to talk to me.
Yes. And so what seems to happen is that the ones that are maybe your the closest to your heart might stay with you, but there are a lot of people there who never had the love of an animal. Or didn't, you know, I mean, they couldn't for whatever reason because of their living experience. And so a lot of animals will go and be with your friends and be their pets in the afterlife. And you're happy to see that because you've just made the animal happy and you've made your friend happy. Because we have many more friends there. We have huge numbers of eternal friends that when we reconnect with them, you know, we want to make them happy too. Everybody there is happy. It really is fun. Oh my, it's fun.
I having every day be happy and not having to, you know, sit there with the angst that I, you know, have on a daily basis because I've got, you know, this on my plate and that on my plate and, you know, so many things to do. You know, just being able to relax and snuggle dogs all day and cats, wow.
Right. And to reconnect with people that who have been your friends for millennia, that's a wonderful feeling too. It's just when we come here, we have access to maybe 10%, we aren't sure exactly, of our eternal minds. And very soon after we return home, we have access to the rest. And suddenly we have all these memories and here are all these people. Oh, my goodness, how could I have forgotten you? Because you had a lifetime with that person and you were lovers. I mean, so many people there will be so happy to see you. That it's just, it's the most glorious homecoming. The pets are very important, but so are the people.
That's pretty darn awesome. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to let our sponsors chime in, and we're going to let Roberta get a quick breath, and we'll be right back.
Interested in learning more? Visit Dr. Morgan's website at www.drjudymorgan.com, where you'll find detailed information about her blogs, a schedule of her upcoming speaking engagements, free information about integrative and holistic medicine, as well as an interactive forum where anyone can ask Dr. Morgan a question completely for free. Visit her website today to join the mailing list, where you'll find exclusive information and promotions only available to those select subscribers. Dr. Morgan is an accomplished author, having published several books about veterinary medicine and home cooking for your pets. You can find From Needles to Natural, detailing her journey from practicing traditional medicine to understanding the healing power of holistic practices today on Amazon Prime, as well as What's for Dinner, Dexter, and Canine Kitchen Capers, which are two great recipe books that you'll find both delicious and entertaining.
Love Never Dies is now on the Dream Vision 7 radio network every Wednesday and Thursday at 1 p.m. and 1 a.m. Eastern Time. Dr. Jamie Turndorf, also known as Dr. Love, is the number one international best-selling author of Love Never Dies, How to Reconnect and Make Peace with the Deceased. If you're grieving the loss of a loved one, tune in and find out how to reconnect and heal any unfinished business using Dr. Turndorf's groundbreaking new Dialoguing with the Departed technique. Visit AskDrLove.com to find out more.
Tune in to world-renowned author, speaker, and holistic veterinarian Dr. Judy Morgan, and now radio host of Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network every Monday and Tuesday, 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Not sure which vaccinations should be given or how often? Not sure which food is best for your individual pet? Find out the answers to your questions in this weekly show where Dr. Judy interviews top experts and showcases the latest products that will help your pets stay naturally healthy.
Does your dog have bad breath? Tired of spending money on expensive dental procedures? Try out Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops today and save money while maintaining your pet's oral health. With New Zealand deer antler velvet as the primary ingredient, Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops are effective for treating stomatitis, gingivitis, and ulcers. You can purchase Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops directly from Amazon Prime or from her website, www.drjudymorgan.com. Dr. Morgan's wellness formula for dogs and cats provides multiple health benefits in one product. Made with all natural ingredients sourced from New Zealand, this supplement can be used routinely to maintain overall physical and mental well-being. This product is particularly beneficial for the maintenance of joint health, nerve and brain function, skin and coat health, immune function, gut health, and liver health. Find Dr. Morgan's wellness supplement today on Amazon Prime or at her website, drjudymorgan.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Okay, we're back with Roberta Grimes. You're listening to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets. And today we're talking about pets in the afterlife and being reunited with our pets because Roberta is an expert on dying and the afterlife. And I have this level of gratitude for Roberta right now because she's making me feel an awful lot better about all my pets that I've lost that have gone before me that I want to see again. And I feel very confident that they are happy and playing and loving a phenomenal life. So, Roberta, what happens to the wild animals that were never physically loved by people? Are they just kind of hanging out? Are they happy? What's up with those guys?
We aren't sure, but we do know that there are tremendous let's set the scene. Scientists know, physicists know, that less than 5% of what they know exists is the physical universe, is the matter and the energy that's a correlate of matter, that's the physical universe. Something like 68% is what they call dark energy, dark because it's not material, it doesn't interact with photons of light. And another 27% or so is what they call dark matter. Now, it appears, preliminarily, I don't know this for sure, but it appears that this part that they know is there, but they don't know what it is, that's most of reality, and that's where we go to. We call it the greater reality, all of it put together. And it's all in the same place, and it doesn't have size, it doesn't have form, but it's actually infinite in size. I mean, it's basically, if the universe as big as it is only less than 5% of what we know exists, there's a heck of a lot more space out there than we've ever dreamed of. And so it's big. It's very big. So it takes, one of the things we do when we first get there is we travel, and people have a lot of fun doing that, and they travel in space, but of course, there's no real space, so you can be anywhere instantaneously, but they also travel in time. I mean, there are accounts of people who have seen prehistoric animals, dinosaurs. You want to walk with dinosaurs, you can do that too. Some of them may be a little grouchy, but there are planes full of wildebeest and full of bison. People, one of the places people like to go is the afterlife of the Plains Indians, who it turns out were about the most spiritual people you can imagine. And people like to go visit them, and it's a beautiful place and infinite plains and full of buffaloes. If you want to see what America looked like before we got there.
It's before
full
we messed it up. So what you're telling me is I don't have to spend the money to take that trip to Africa to see all the wild animals because I'm going to get to see them anyway.
Big time. You will big time see them.
Not that I'm saving my money.
Well, absolutely. You know, plus there, you know, you could get a disease maybe at this point because there are all these mosquitoes there which give you things, but that's something which hopefully will be eradicated soon. But in point of fact, we think they cycle in and out of Earth lives just as we do, but there's a heck of a lot of them there, and it's beautiful to see. And since there's no predation, the lion does lie down with the lamb. That's a phrase from the Bible, and I when I read it, I can't help but think somebody is remembering what it was like there. And, I mean, there's no the lions and everybody get along very happily together. But
now,
in our, afterlife, we don't have that kind of close contact. We have to go to those places. So don't worry when you get there that a buffalo will step on you because that doesn't happen.
So I'm not a person who knows the Bible very well. I grew up in a household where we went to church every Sunday. But somebody actually put a post on my forum on my website the other day asking if there were specific quotes from the Bible that prove that pets are in heaven and in the afterlife. And I thought it was very interesting that that person posted that, knowing that, I don't know whether they knew that I was going to have this conversation with you this week. But are there specific quotes that say that, or are you getting your information from people on the other side or scientists? Where does the information come from?
Well, scientists are clueless. Because 100 years ago, literally clueless, 100 years ago they adopted materialism as what they call the fundamental scientific dogma. And that's why they don't weigh in on all this stuff, because they're not allowed to, basically, still to this day. They can't look into any of this. It's very sad. But they'll be shamed into it. When everyone has that app on their phone, scientists are going to start to realize they better look at this stuff. I'm trying to think of... It would be in the Old Testament. There's nothing in the New Testament about it. No, it's a common question that people asked 100 years ago. So a lot of the information we have about the fact that pets are there, it comes from all those old communications. More recently, there are very specific communications from specific dead people who talk about the experience of going back and picking up their pets. One of the most interesting people I know is a sixth level being. He's almost completed his spiritual evolution. And he was last on Earth in the 1600s, but then he wanted to come back and sort of teach us today. And he couldn't do that unless he knew what it was like to be here today. So he took a brief lifetime. He died in 2007. When he was 20, and he's been communicating since then. And one of the things he talks about, his book, by the way, if you're interested in him, is called Flying High in Spirit, A Young Snowboarder's Account of His Ride Through Heaven. It's by Mikey Morgan. I helped him write it, but every bit of it is in his voice. And so that's Flying High in Spirit. You can get it on Amazon. But one of the things he talks about and has talked about independently is what it was like to go and get his dogs, because he had a couple of dogs here. And the first thing he wanted his mother to know when they started communicating was that he had the dogs, and they were exactly as they had been when they were young. They had the same personalities. They were the same animals. And he was overjoyed to go and pick up his dogs. And that's typical. That's what they all say. There is no evidence whatsoever that what I'm telling you is not true. I've seen no even slightly different opinions of what happens. Only do good dogs go to heaven or anything like that. No, they're all there. What makes them there is the fact that you wouldn't be heaven for you unless you had your beloved pets there, and therefore they're there. I'm sure that's why.
Well, that's awesome. We definitely
that's how
want
much
them
your
to
love.
Be there.
Pause and think for a minute. That's how much you in particular are loved. That because it wouldn't be heaven without the dogs, that dogs are going to be there. If it wouldn't be heaven for you without having a blender, you better be sure there would be blenders. And whatever you need, I mean, I'm serious about this. You are so infinitely loved. Nobody listening can comprehend how much you in particular are loved.
That's pretty incredible. So I saw something, maybe it was another one of your books that you wrote, because you have multiple books, and I was looking at your website, and there's one that talks about, people on the earth not getting along, and I think it has to do with, interracial stuff, and why is that still a problem, and why people can't just solve everything with love. And I look at, our earth is kind of a mess right now with everybody hating everybody, and I just don't get it. But, I mean, isn't that really what it's all about, is kind of universal love?
Yes. And there's a reason why the earth has been a mess, but it is not, it's not going to go on for much longer. We are here to learn and grow spiritually. It says that in the Gospels, and the dead tell us that consistently. And in order to be able to learn and grow, we've got to make decisions, which means we have to have the power to choose fear over love, or else our choosing love doesn't mean much. But we're here to learn to choose love every time. Whatever the question, love is the answer. But too many people, over too long a period of time, have chosen fear and its correlates, hatred, anger, all of, grief, all the negativity. Guilt. I mean, guilt is a very low vibration emotion. That's one reason people are so upset when their pets die and they feel bad about it, something about something they did. So when we have so many people choosing negativity, we create tremendous negative energy on this planet. We lower its consciousness vibration hugely, and that's what we've done. And for almost 100 years, we think of them as the custodians of the planet, the very highest level beings of which we are aware, have been working to raise the elevation of the planet's consciousness vibration, and it's working. We can see it. Those of us who are in this field can see it happening. It's very, very exciting. But your observation is absolutely right. And the book that you talk about, which is just out recently, is called The Fun of Living Together. We must learn to live together as brothers or perish together as fools. And, of course, that's a Martin Luther King quote. And it's about why we have racial problems now. There's a reason, a core reason, and nobody knows what it is. It has nothing to do with racism. That's just a bit of evidence of the fact that we have the problem, but it's not the problem. And so my co-author and I talk about what's wrong and how we can fix it and end all our racial problems in one generation. And I have to tell you, Judy, parenthetically, so much is happening for this book. But by the time people hear this, they may have heard about it because so much is happening for the book. There's nothing so powerful as an idea whose time has come. And the time for us to all together fix our problems and become one nation, that time is now.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. So, for me, I look at it and I go, well, we all love our pets. Why can't we love other people as much? And
that's
it's funny,
right.
I see it on social media all the time. People are like, I have dogs because I hate people. And, some people just do seem to come across as, they're just mean, And they don't like your opinion or your idea, they are mean. And, boy, wouldn't life be great if we could all just say, okay, I respect your opinion, mine's different.
we can do it. The book that came out that I wrote just before this is called The Fun of Living Forever. And what it does, it's not a religious book at all, but what it does is to show you how you can very quickly raise your own vibration high enough that it won't bother you anymore. I mean, you'll look at those people, you'll love them, you'll see their pain, which is the source of the way they're behaving, and you'll be able to love them anyway and help them get beyond it. So the more people who will do that and raise their spiritual vibration, the better. In fact, it's been estimated that if as few as 10%, maybe even only 5% of the people on Earth will raise their own vibrations quite deliberately, the whole planet will be transformed. Suddenly, Al-Qaeda will start petting puppies. It's going to be a whole different world. And we have the power to do that. Jesus told us we have the power to do that, and it turns out we do. But we don't have the power to do that unless we transform ourselves. That's the subtitle of that one. We can't transform the world until we transform ourselves.
Well, I'm going to have to get that one. I think, your first three, because when I met you 2 years ago and I tapped you on the shoulder and you gave me that answer and I said, okay, well, now I have to read this in print. So I ran out and I got those three books. and read them all within a week because I was just like, I need this. Because for me, it's just so important. And I love your analogy. If you like a blender, you're going to have a blender. You're going to have whatever it is that really makes you happy in life. And so, you know, I'm an animal person in general, but I will say right now I happen to have a lot more dogs than cats. In the past, I've had a lot more cats than dogs. There's definitely cat people and dog people and horse people, but it's just so important to us to know that we'll be reconnected. And frankly, if I really sit and get my mind to quiet down a little bit and just open up my heart, I can say that I'm still connected with them all the time, every single day.
You are. And if you want them to be the ones who come to your bedside, you can have that, because we're all greeted by loved ones at our bedsides when we're about to transition. And usually it's people, but for some people, the only ones that they love or the ones they love most are some pets. You can call the pets to be the people who are going to come to your bedside.
Oh, my gosh, that's amazing.
I'm told by my primary guide that because we meet with our guides at night, we just don't remember. Our bodies sleep, our minds don't need to, and so we will meet with our guides. And I'm told that I have insisted that I want Bo, my horse, to be who meets me at my bedside, and he says it's already been arranged. You're going to get to ride out on him, which I think is so hysterical. I'm looking forward to that so much.
I have a good story about that. Hang on just a sec. We're going to hear from our sponsors.
Interested in learning more? Visit Dr. Morgan's website at www.drjudymorgan.com, where you'll find detailed information about her blogs, a schedule of her upcoming speaking engagements, free information about integrative and holistic medicine, as well as an interactive forum where anyone can ask Dr. Morgan a question completely for free. Visit her website today to join the mailing list, where you'll find exclusive information and promotions only available to those select subscribers. Dr. Morgan is an accomplished author, having published several books about veterinary medicine and home cooking for your pets. You can find From Needles to Natural, detailing her journey from practicing traditional medicine to understanding the healing power of holistic practices today, on Amazon Prime, as well as What's for Dinner, Dexter, and Canine Kitchen Capers, which are two great recipe books that you'll find both delicious and entertaining.
Come explore with us natural and healthy ways to achieve inner peace, happiness, and an ever-present state of well-being on The Mind Health Coach with Leah Marie every Friday at 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Dream Vision 7 radio network. You're already healed. You just haven't realized it yet. When you're ready, you can change your mind and change your life forever. The power of a beautiful life is within you today.
Tune in to world-renowned author, speaker, and holistic veterinarian Dr. Judy Morgan, and now radio host of Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network every Monday and Tuesday, 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Not sure which vaccinations should be given or how often? Not sure which food is best for your individual pet? Find out the answers to your questions in this weekly show, where Dr. Judy interviews top experts and showcases the latest products that will help your pets stay naturally healthy.
Does your dog have bad breath? Tired of spending money on expensive dental procedures? Try out Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops today and save money while maintaining your pet's oral health. With New Zealand deer antler velvet as the primary ingredient, Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops are effective for treating stomatitis, gingivitis, and ulcers. You can purchase Dr. Morgan's Dental Drops directly from Amazon Prime or from her website, www.drjudymorgan.com. Dr. Morgan's wellness formula for dogs and cats provides multiple health benefits in one product. Made with all natural ingredients sourced from New Zealand, this supplement can be used routinely to maintain overall physical and mental well-being. This product is particularly beneficial for the maintenance of joint health, nerve and brain function, skin and coat health, immune function, gut health, and liver health. Find Dr. Morgan's wellness supplement today on Amazon Prime or at her website, drjudymorgan.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Okay, so we're back with Roberta Grimes, who's an expert on the afterlife. You're listening to Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets. And we're talking about being reunited with our pets and, you know, who comes to greet us when it's time to go to the afterlife. So I have two quick stories. My grandfather, when he was dying and getting very, very close, he said three people in white robes came to, and stood at the foot of his bed and talked to him and took his hand, and they were there. And so he was describing it, and one was his wife who had died, 10, 15 years earlier. And I don't remember who the other two people were, but, you know, I mean, it just supports everything that you're saying. And then you said that, you know, you're going to ride off on your horse. And I have a friend who passed 10 years ago, and he sent a very clear image to me of a white stallion that he was on, and he had had an eagle and an Indian guide when he was here on Earth. And so the Indian and the stallion and the eagle were what he described. So I find it to be fascinating, and you're right, there's so much evidence.
It really is beautiful and amazing and wonderful. And one thing people should know more about is the fact that our animals do give us signs of their survival very often. My book on signs is called The Fun of Staying in Touch and how our loved ones contact us and how we can contact them. It's mostly about people, but the typical signs animals will give, our small animals will surprisingly often, if they used to sleep on your bed, you'll see the little paw imprints and you'll feel the little body flop down beside your leg or wherever he or she used to sleep. And they'll look like there's nothing there, but you'll know they're there. Or if you have other pets, they'll stop and stare fixedly at a spot. And nearly always that's a deceased pet or sometimes a person. They can see, they have a broader spectrum of what they can see than we do. There was a woman who told me that 2 days after they had to put a dog to sleep, she heard a dog in her foyer, but she didn't have a dog. She walked in, and she said, there was that dog standing there looking young and covered in sparkles. And the sparkles were an interesting touch. That's spiritual light. So she said the dog didn't do anything, just looked there, wagged her tail, looked at me, and disappeared. But this is the kind of thing they can do. Or you might hear a dog bark or hear your cat or just so many. They're right there with you very often, especially if you aren't full of, you know, negative emotions. If all you think of is love, if you think of your pet with love and say, you know, come visit with me, you're going to start to feel that they're there with you because they love you. And this is fun for them. It's easy for them to do also.
Oh, man. No wonder it gets crazy in this house sometimes because there's probably 100 of them.
That's right. And you know, they'll play with one another sometimes, too. I've heard those stories. Well, he used to do this with her, and now she's gone, and now he's still doing it, but he keeps looking at nothing, and I know it's her. She's doing it, too.
Do you think pets grieve for pets? You know, so if you have two dogs and they're very attached to each other, you know, in life, and one of them passes, do you think the one that's left here grieves? Do we have any evidence of that?
Yes. It's much harder for the pet if they don't realize that the other pet has died. I've even seen it recommended that you show your pets the body because they get that. They'll understand that. And they'll be sad. But otherwise, they're always going to wonder what, you know, any minute he's going to show up again or she's going to show up again. So it may be healthier for the pets to make sure they know that their friend has died.
That's an interesting point. Huh. Never really thought about that.
You can't prevent grief, not in people, not in animals. But grief by itself is a self-limiting emotion. It really is much better within a year, even if you've lost a dear loved one, because a lot of it is habit. And once you've made some new habits, and especially if you know they're fine, I mean, if you started to get signs from people or signs from pets that they're fine, you know they're fine. So you go on with your life, which is what you're supposed to do and what they want you to do. But if you're tormenting yourself, we should have let her go sooner, we should have taken her to the vet sooner, or why did we take her to the vet? She must be upset with us. If you torment yourself like that, you will never get over it. You've got to get rid of the grief. You've got to forgive yourself, because the pet has never blamed you, already forgives you.
That's very, very good advice. I do see people who just hold on to that grief year after year after year. And, I have clients who have new pets, but they still just, they're grieving years later. And just, you know, I have Facebook friends where they just, you know, and I tell them, you know, it's fine to grieve. And, you know, if your friends are tired of hearing about you, you know, talk about the loss of your pet, well, you know, that's okay. You need to, you know, maybe find friends who can listen to it. But I think they also need to learn how to move on and forgive themselves. And I think you're right. And I hope that people who are struggling with that and unable to move on, and all you can focus on is the grief and the loss, that, you know, really take to heart what you've been saying and realize that you can really celebrate the life that the pet had with you while they were here. You can give up the guilt and the grief and just look forward to when you're together again.
Here's a rule, and I think it's hard and fast. If you're still in a lot of pain a year after a death of, I don't care who it is, a lot of it is guilt. And you've got to get rid of the guilt. You've most of all got to forgive yourself. In the fun of growing forever, there's this, because forgiveness is hard, and there's an exercise in learning how to forgive so everything stays forgiven. And forgiving yourself is really the most important forgiveness there is. So try that exercise.
But probably the most difficult.
It can be very hard for people, that's right. And some people need counseling in order to do it. But whatever you do, you've got to stop blaming yourself. There's a reason why you can't allow yourself to hold grudges against yourself, and that's that once you transition, the first thing you do is you go through a life review and you get to experience how you made everybody else feel in the course of your life, and that includes, of course, all animals. And people blame themselves so much for trivial things that they did and learned from. And you have to be able to forgive everything immediately and uncritically, and especially yourself, because the day will come when you're going to need to forgive yourself for all the mistakes you made in this life. And if for no other reason, you've got to learn forgiveness now. And it's not hard. It's actually easy. You just have to do the right things.
Very interesting. So now I know that you have your own radio show. And why don't you give us information on that?
It's called Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes, and there are now 4 years of episodes. And I'm told we have a million people who pick it up in one way or another. I just don't know, but it's available in several ways. The easiest way to get it, though, is to go to webtalkradio.net and just look for Seek Reality. And there are a couple of years of episodes there now, and there are the farther back ones are available on iTunes. We talk about so many things because Seek Reality is a pretty big mandate.
Yeah.
And so we do. I mean, we talk about a lot of afterlife stuff and a lot about what is actually going on, what reality actually is. And we've been talking of late about love and forgiveness and the importance of that. And we've been talking about how to raise your vibration. And this book, The Fun of Living Together, is my first foray into what the natural result is of all this work. Because when we start thinking only from love and not from fear, there's no problem we cannot solve. The race problem is not even hard to solve when we think from love. You'll see. And so I talk about that sometimes too. You know, you got a problem, this is how you solve it. It doesn't matter what it is.
That's great.
and so
the next time I'm up in the middle of the night and I'm fretting about something.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it really is easy to solve all. We make our lives hard. It doesn't have to be hard. Life can be joyous. And that's what removing the barriers to love's awareness is extremely important for all of us. That's how we lift ourselves, and that's how we make our lives with our pets and with everybody just blissful. I'm looking forward to dying because I know where I'm going, but not because I don't like my life. I love my life. And so will you. When you, you know, everybody listening, once you work it all out. But webtalkradio.net is the easiest way. Although if you just look for Seek Reality, you can probably find it elsewhere. And on RobertaGrimes.com is my website, and there's a radio page there which has links as well.
Yeah, I found that, and I also you have a bunch of videos on there, and I started listening to some of those. Some are interviews with other people, but I've found it to be fascinating. So I think I'm going to get more of your books because I'm an avid reader, and I think that you know, we all just have so much to learn. But I'm really hopeful, and I mean, I'm thankful because information that you've given me today makes me feel so much better, you know, regarding my pets and the ability to really forgive myself for the ones, you know, I'm a veterinarian. I should be able to save them all. And, you know, I lose
no.
a lot of patients, you know. I lose my own
patients.
Pets.
Yes. No, they're, and you don't want them to live when their bodies are failing them. Their bodies have a natural expiration date, as do ours. You want them to be young and happy again, and that's what happens when you let them free. So don't ever, ever anybody feel that you shouldn't euthanize a pet. If life is not fun for them anymore, they don't want to stay in that body. They want, and that you can do.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. So, yeah, and, you know, everybody always asks me, you know, how do I know when it's time? What's the right time? And I usually tell people, you know, you'll figure that out because you're the person who lives with your pet. You know them the best. You're the closest to them.
Yeah.
You know, people will feel guilty that, you know, they did it too soon. They did it too late. They, you know, they
That's right.
did it wrong, yeah. You know. And I, you know, it would be nice if we could all kind of work through that a little more quickly and not hold on to it forever. Because I think that, you know, a lot of times there is no right, there is no wrong, as long as you love them.
Yes, that's a very good summary. But in my experience too, most people wait longer than they, than perhaps ideally the pet would like them to. Really, don't think that it's not possible to do it too soon. If your pet isn't perfectly happy and healthy, any time after that, remember, you're not killing them. You're freeing them. They're going
to
be way better and happier. Yes. Once they're out of their body, you've given them a gift. That's what they tell us when they communicate. They always say, what a gift that was.
Well, that's a good way to look at it, and maybe that'll help some of us on this journey here on this plane as we try to love our pets with all of our hearts. And, you know, sometimes we're just guilty of wanting them to be with us forever.
That's right.
But, and that's really comes from a place of love. We love them so much. So,
that's
Roberta,
right.
I am so grateful to you for sharing your knowledge and information with us today. And I am absolutely going to get some more of your books because I think that this is very interesting. I've enjoyed the ones that I've read. I enjoyed your videos that I was looking at earlier. And I'm sure that you and I will meet again at some of our conferences. And
yes.
It's always a pleasure. So thank you so very, very much. And everybody, if you have questions or need more information, go to RobertaGrimes.com. And she's got a ton of information there. And I think you'll really like what you see. Roberta, thank you very much.
Thank you. Big hug, Judy. This is lovely. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's all for today. Find more answers to your questions next time on Dr. Judy Morgan's Naturally Healthy Pets every Monday and Tuesday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time by going to DreamVision7Radio.com and every fourth Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time when Dream Vision 7 Radio Network is at 1510 a.m. WMEX Boston. Join holistic veterinarian Dr. Judy to discover healthy options for raising your pets in a more holistic manner. Visit DrJudyMorgan.com to learn more.